Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
We're learning more today about a previously undisclosed meeting between President Donald Trump and Russia's President Vladimir Putin. It happened toward the end of a social dinner during the G20 summit in Hamburg, Germany, earlier this month. Trump and Putin had already talked during an official bilateral meeting earlier that day. At the second meeting, the two leaders were joined only by Putin's interpreter, so there is no U.S. record of their encounter. The White House says it was just a brief conversation, nothing unusual. President Trump tweeted that, quote, the fake news is trying to make it look sinister. For more, we're joined by Nick Burns, professor of diplomacy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government and the former U.S. ambassador to NATO. Nick Burns, there are often these kind of pull-asides at meetings such as this, sometimes called audibles, and a lot of times they're encouraged. So what's wrong with this one?
I don't think on the surface there is anything wrong with President Trump going over to speak to President Putin at a dinner. They're the two most powerful people in the world, certainly militarily. They have to find a way to get to know each other, to be able to work together. And frankly, it's very customary, very usual for at these leaders' dinners and summits. So I don't think there's anything to worry about there. The unfortunate aspect of this is that the only person interpreting the conversation and the only person with a record is President Putin's interpreter. So we don't have a record. Now, President Trump could have also given a very detailed debrief to General McMaster, his national security advisor, and that would be helpful. But the U.S. and Russia have a contentious relationship. There are often disagreements about what the leaders have said to each other, whether we've made commitments to each other, whether we have inferred one thing or another. And so you do want to have a pretty clear record. And I hope that they've been able to deconstruct this conversation, that President Trump has been able to relay it to his national security advisor and secretary of state, because they have to take the lead on a day-to-day basis on Russia.
Does Congress have an obligation to find out, do the American people, for that matter, have an obligation to find out what happened at a meeting like this? Or could a one-on-one meeting, even among two extremely powerful leaders, be private?
Well, sometimes diplomacy has to be kept private. I think in general, however, we're a democracy. So the government has an obligation to be as transparent as it can. And this is a real risk for President Trump, because he has run the weakest policy towards Russia of any president in 70 years. He has looked the other way as Russia has interfered in our election. And I think what has people worried correctly is that President Trump seems to, more than anything else, want to have a friendship with Putin. And given his weak views on Ukraine, on Russia in the Middle East, on NATO, that has people worried. I think that's where the complaint is here. The legitimate complaint from the press and others is that did President Trump say things or give away things that he shouldn't have at a one-on-one meeting like this?
You've been in many, many high-level diplomatic meetings. What do you think President Trump would want to go to somebody like Vladimir Putin to talk about? I mean, can you imagine sort of what the discussion might have been about? What would have been so pressing that he would choose to have more time with Putin?
It's hard to know specifically, but let's look at the agenda. The Russians interfered in our election. Is President Trump going to take President Putin's denial at face value, or is President Trump going to believe his own intelligence community, which is 100% sure that the Russians did intervene? That's issue number one.
Well, so far we know the answer to that. He believes Vladimir Putin.
And that's unfortunate. That's a big issue. Ukraine's another issue where the United States and Europe have sanctioned Russia over its annexation of Crimea and its invasion and occupation of eastern Ukraine. And the president needs to be tough-minded there and keep those sanctions on so that there's some incentive for Putin to leave Ukraine. There's a lot on this agenda, North Korea, Afghanistan. You really want to have to be well-prepared for these meetings. You want to have your Secretary of State and your NSC advisor with you if possible. I don't see, again, an objection to a one-on-one meeting, as long as you have a record of it, as long as you've been tough-minded in that meeting.
Have you heard any kind of reaction to the discussion from our allies overseas, those in Western Europe especially? There are many pressing issues that the U.S. has there, trade, NATO. Any reaction from China to the fact that he basically did a walk-by and went straight to Vladimir Putin?
Well, President Trump has spent a lot of time with President Xi Jinping of China, and he had just met for the first time President Putin. I think the allies in Europe, the NATO allies, are of two minds about this. they understand that the United States and Russia have to have a direct relationship, particularly at the head of state level. But they worry about President Trump. This is the first time since before the Second World War that Europe's had to worry that an American president might be thinking first of his relationship with Russia over his relationship with the NATO allies. The NATO allies are our best friends in the world. We ought to be listening to them. We ought to be defending them. And we ought to be as tough-minded towards Russia as they have been. And I think that's where the concern over this pull-aside meeting in Hamburg lies.
Nick Burns, professor of diplomacy at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. We reached him on Skype. Nice to speak to you, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.